It's a great big dose of today's comedy.
Easy to jokes, lady. At the finish, I give out dirty pamphlets.
Comedy 1031.
I'm worried about the future, man. My mom told me I need to quit reading. That was kind of a weird thing to hear, you know? Because I'm kind of worried. I worry about global collapse and financial collapse and the environmental collapse and we're running out of this and we're running out of oil and, you know, the Mayan calendar. Da Vinci picked a date. He said it was going to be November 5th, 4006. That's the one I'm going with right there. Yeah, he was right about the helicopter. Learn how to garden, store water. But I do worry about the thing, man. You know, the like global warming, right? Stephen Hawking said that global warming is real and is a problem, but I'm sure Sean Hannity's looked into it more, so I'm not really that concerned. People are like, they're going to tell me what the temperature is in 100 years. Why don't they work on Thursday? Well, some people just don't care. I got a buddy of mine. We're getting out of his car at Burger King. He literally empties out all his trash into the parking lot. I'm like, Jimmy, you share this planet with other people, you jackass. He's like, nah, man, they got someone who picks that up. I'm doing good. I'm creating work. What are you doing, liberal boy? Really, you're creating work? That's your logic? Not everything you do to create a job is good, Tardo, you know? Yeah. It's somebody's job to take care of battered children, to go around beating little kids, running into a Toys R Us on a Saturday, like, come on, Billy, it's for the community. Quit crying. I'm creating work.
Tom Simmons.
Right, what should we do here? Well, very much your decision. I wrote a letter to Stephen Hawking. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Fine. On your own heads be it. Okay, Stephen Hawking in Cambridge University. Dear Professor, I know you get lots of letters asking you all sorts of things about the nature of the universe, and I also know you don't have a lot of time on your hands to be answering all of them in great detail. But perhaps this question from my 9-year-old will inspire you a little. He is severely disabled and has similar limitations to you. But equally, he has a great spirit and refuses to give in on a world all too ready to dismiss him as a four-eyed, monotonal, voice-box, wheelchair-bound freak. Anyway, what he'd really like to know is, would you like to come over and play? Now, obviously, when you send a letter like that, you're not expecting a reply. You're certainly not expecting a phone call. But that's what I got. My younger brother Patrick answered the phone and passed it to me, said it's Stephen Hawking's assistant. I was slightly taken aback. She was inquiring as to the name of my son. Now, the only disability my son has is, tragically, he's fictitious. But as I said, my younger brother Patrick had answered the phone, so I said Patrick. I gave a name, and then she asked about his disabilities, and I, you know, watch a fair amount of daytime TV, I was able to cobble something together. And then, about a week after that, I got this letter from Stephen Hawking himself. It's absolutely genuine. I'll read it to you now. Dear Patrick, my assistant, Karen, has sent me a letter from your father who tells me that you've invited me to come over and play. It's very kind of you to send me the invitation, but unfortunately, I'm teaching at Caltech in Pasadena until the 1st of May. So I can't take you up on your offer. Even though I am 60, I think it's never too late to play. One of my birthday treats was to go for a balloon ride, and that was really exciting. If you're interested, contact Ian Bentley at Innovative Ballooning. There's the contact details and phone numbers. I did contact him, and he'd bought us a balloon ride. I did briefly consider crippling my younger brother to take him up on the offer.
Jimmy Carr.
It is the place where vinyl never dies.
It's the vinyl classic on today's comedy.
It was kind of a coincidence this past week. There was a movie on bomb disposals in Germany. And then there was an item in the paper about this plane was flying along, and somehow a bomb came loose and fell. It didn't explode. It landed, and they had to send out an expert team to disarm the bomb. I got to wondering what would happen if a team of non-experts ever tried to disarm one of these bombs. We see the police chief. He's sitting in his office, and he's expecting nothing more than a phone call from one of his patrolmen on the beach. And I think it'd go something like this. Yeah, hello, patrolman Hackmaster. Oh, hello, Willard. You're a little late reporting in, aren't you, Willard? You found a shell on the beach. You think that's unusual, do you, Willard, finding a shell on a beach? It's not that kind of shell. What's the matter, Willard? Doesn't it sound like the ocean when you hold it up to your ear? Oh, that kind of shell. Well, I'll tell you what, Willard. I'll send somebody out in the morning. Is that right? Gee, I was kind of hoping that was your watch making that noise, Willard. I'm going to give it to you straight, Willard. You got a live one there. There's nothing to worry about as long as it's ticking. When it stops ticking, that's something else again, Willard. Now, listen, Willard, get control of yourself. Now, you and I are going to disarm that thing. I've got the instruction manual. Well, no, I'm not coming down there, Willard. I just can't leave the office anytime I want to, Willard. No, don't bring it in here, Willard, no! Look, Willard, I'm taking just as big a chance as you are. I mean, this is my responsibility. I mean, if that thing goes off, it's me they're going to want to talk to, not you, you know.
Bob Newhart.
Here's a great big bowl of today's comedy.
Yeah, that's great, man. Only let's try it without the slobber this time.
Comedy 1031.
My neighbor just bought one of these new invisible pet fences. You know that cable that shocks the dog? And he's bragging about it. He goes, it cost me $1,000. I'm thinking, just go get an invisible dog. Because you think about that. You walk in somebody's yard, the guy goes, well, I got a dog that'll eat you up. You're going to be like, well, where is he? And he goes, that's all you need to know. You're going to be a little wary. Now, he's got one of these Omen dogs, those Rottweilers. And every day, that dog would wait for me to walk down the sidewalk. And he'd wait till I got between the car parked on the street and the chain link fence, so I had nowhere to go. He had the timing perfect. I'd get right there, boy, he'd come out of them bushes. Man, every night I'd jump up on the car, cuss the dog. And if a dog could laugh, this dog laughed every day. Well, then his owner tore down that chain link fence and buried that invisible pet cable. Well, the dog had to be trained. Well, I was more than happy to help with the training of that dog. I looked forward to our training sessions. I'd go walking down the sidewalk. I'd get to that fella's yard. I'd walk right in the middle of that yard. Here come that dog. And I'd jump back across that cable. He'd hit it. And by God, I can laugh, and I did. But you know what's sad? Is ever since he buried that pet cable, it's killed that dog and my relationship. Now the dog don't even care. I'll walk right in the guy's house. Dog looks at me like, whatever. Jewelry's in that drawer right there. Go get it. Hey, I ain't gonna stop you. He's shocking me everywhere I go. And you know that this dog had to have been shocked like 1,000 times before he realized this was bad. Because we love our dogs. But let's face it, they're not the brightest animal come out of the pet store, are they? No, they're not. It's the same animal that goes for the fake throw every time. But that's why they're man's best friend. Because guys want buddies that are dumber than they are.
Bill Engvall.
I'm bald, which isn't cool at my age. It's fine, though. Because when you meet a woman, guys, she thinks long term. What can life be like 20, 30 years down the line? Can we build a future together? And when a guy has a full head of hair, sorry, like that fella, there's a lot of mystery and uncertainty. But ladies, when a fella looks like this, the future is now. I'm like the Terminator. When I was a kid, I was a big nerd, a lot like I am present day, but smaller and with more hair. I liked to read as a child. I mean, obviously, if you look at me, right? You don't get a body like this by going outside. Never read comic books, though. Shocker. I was too big a nerd for comic books. Because I didn't like those pictures getting in the way of all my words. I felt like comic book readers were the jocks of nerds.
Like, yeah, we like to read, but only a little bit at a time. Just words like bam, pow, jughead.
My favorite book when I was in third grade, this is 100% true, my favorite book was The Catcher in the Rye. So as you can imagine, I was a real pleasure to be around. I am, to this day, the only student ever sent to my elementary school's principal office for calling his teacher a damn phony. So I've got that going for me still. My hero as a kid was Encyclopedia Brown, Boy Detective. He was the best. Thank you. Some of you guys remember. For those of you who don't, he was a boy who was simultaneously a detective. There were a lot of them in my youth. There were the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew, the Bobbsey Twins, Cam Jansen, a lot of child detectives. You never read about their adult police work, though. Which makes me think, like, the jump from boy detective to man detective is like the jump from child actor to regular actor. And the boy detective industry was a lot of Ben Savages without a Neil Patrick Harris amongst them.
Josh Gondelman.
Don't keep it a secret. It's today's comedy.
If you are viewing this film, then we are under extraterrestrial attack.
Comedy 1031.
If you guys got kids and you want to ruin your kids' dream, and why wouldn't you? make them do their dream as a kid. I'll explain. I loved Indiana Jones. I wanted to be Indiana Jones. And then my parents sent me archaeology camp, and that sucked. It was 8 hours of digging in the dirt. My parents sent me to a child labor camp. And there was nothing cool in the ground, right? And there wasn't no Nazis there. And I'm glad Nazis are gone, but they could have got some theater camp kids who were doing The Sound of Music with their Nazi uniforms, throwing them in the woods, buried an artifact in the ground. Boom, we dig it up. Oh, there's an artifact. Oh, now Nazis are chasing us. And maybe right now I'd be an archaeologist with a 401k and tenure and a whip. I guess I could probably just buy a whip. But, you know, I used to live in New York City for a couple years. When you live in New York City, you gotta take the subway everywhere. But sometimes you miss it by a minute. And you're like, ah! And you gotta wait around 10 minutes. And that's a long time to think about all the dumb stuff you were doing that led you to be late by a minute. I realized I missed the train once because earlier I was in my apartment dancing, breaking it down, kicking it. Eating Twizzlers. No music, just a Twizzler eating dance party. At one point, I put my hand on the door like I was going to leave. I said, screw it, two more Twizzlers. I could have done that on the way to the train. It's New York City. Nobody would have looked up from their phone. Dancing Twizzler guy. They don't care. Don't care.
Dave, wait.